Welcome to No Sugar,
Just Spice.
I'm Sheer.
And I'm Sen.
1, 2, 3, hi. Okay, I think that was good.
As we navigate the early stages of our careers, we wanted to bring you a weekly dose of our unapologetic dialogue.
I was like, ha 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 ha.
Oh yeah.
No.
Join us every week as we dive into topics on all of our minds and cover all the latest trends, obsessions, and struggles we encounter on the daily.
We're getting personal and professional, and we're here to talk about it all. No sugarcoating, no BS, just a little bit of Middle Eastern spice.
Get ready for an authentic exploration of all the highs and lows, because life's too short for sugar-coated stories. This is No Sugar, Just Spice, where honesty meets the mic.
Well, hello, everyone.
Oh, hello, Sheeran.
Welcome back. Welcome to the Thriving in Your 20s podcast episode.
Woo!
Welcome to the Thriving in Your 20s segment, everyone. We are very excited about today's episode because it's all about not caring about what people think about you, being authentically you, and then the things that kind of like come hand in hand with that, right? It's like, at what point do you start feeling imposter syndrome? At what point do you feel like, you know, you're in a place where like you've achieved it, you've expected it, or you've deserved it? And so, yeah, so that's what we're going to be talking about today. And like, we kind of got inspired by this because there's like this TikTok trend going around with this guy who's just like, I would love to know how those people who don't care about what people think about them, like, how do you do it? And then like, just like people cutting and responding.
Yeah, it's one of those stitch type of videos where like they started off and then like everybody just like stitches it and gives their response. So I love a TikTok trend. So I'm excited. And I feel like this is super relevant to thriving in your 20s and like a lot of what we want to talk about on the podcast, which is little tips and tricks for, you know, how to thrive in your career and going through like things that we've learned and like are still learning and struggling with, because obviously we're not perfect. Nobody is. And life is hard.
It's true. Especially like when you're in your 20s and like you're starting off.
Especially, yeah.
Because like I feel like your 20s is one of those...
That's when you really care about what people think.
Yeah. And also you're coming out of your teenage years, which you care the most.
Yeah.
And then college where... obviously, you're just in that environment 24/7. And then when you get out of college, it's like you're finally out into the world and you need to figure out like, who am I? What are my beliefs? Like, who do I see myself hanging out with? Not like, who am I like in a situation with? So like, we're naturally friends because we go to school together and like, that's
right.
It. You know,
yeah, like you actually have to make like calculated effort. Decisions.
Yeah, you have to make decisions. Like, who are you going to surround yourself with? Who do you want to be similar to? I think that your 20s is very much figuring yourself out a lot. And it comes hand in hand with like, just not giving a shit what people think about you.
How are some of y'all going around living life not caring what people think about you? Like, truly tell me how you do it. How are you not bothered when people don't like you for no reason or are mean to you for no reason? Because the advice that I always get is like, well, just don't let it bother you. Which to me sounds like if somebody punches you in the face, just like,
so
don't
good.
Feel it. I can't turn off the way I feel. I can't turn off my
don't
emotions.
Feel it.
Like, are y'all telling the truth? Do you really not care? Or is there something wrong with me?
So that's the prompt, everyone, for those wondering what the essay question is of the day.
I love it. Because like for me, this is a constant battle. Like on one hand, I really don't care what people think. But then like, and we all get into it. But then on the other hand, it's like I do have this like voice in my head that with certain things that's like, why do you like even doing this podcast? Like, what are people going to think? Like, why do you think you have something important to say? And like, why should people listen to you, Sanaya? Like that just, those thoughts like go into my head.
Which I think is normal. Like I think a lot of people have those
thoughts. Yeah, you feel like that too. Probably less than me.
I don't care so much what people think about me, to be honest. But I do doubt myself a lot. Like I'm hard on myself.
Yeah.
So like those thoughts that you have, like I have them like for myself, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah. For me, it's like part of the reason that I am able to go through life thinking that, okay, like it's like the same reason that makes me not care what people think also makes me care, if that makes sense.
Okay, give me an example.
in my opinion, like even when I was younger and like when I was a teenager, like I remember like my friends, especially like when I was in college and in a sorority, it was like really heightened to me that how much people are, how much women specifically are like so anxious about like everything they say, everything they do, everything they wear. They think everybody's noticing everything. But for me, I always thought like, okay, who are we? Like, we're so small and insignificant in this huge world. Like, nobody is looking at anybody. Everybody just cares about themselves. I kind of had that awareness, like, from a young age that, like, nobody's paying attention to you, like, because, like, we're so, so small in this huge universe.
I agree. And also, I read this, I forgot where I read this, but at the end of the day, people are innately selfish and care about themselves. And it's not in a mean way. It's
exactly.
Just life, you know?
People, which is kind of freeing.
It's freeing. Because imagine, like, you're nervous, like, what to wear to, like, this party. And you show up at the party. 99% of the people at that party are just thinking about themselves and what they're wearing. Not what you're wearing or if that top looked cute with those pants.
Yeah, nobody remembers. And I remember this perfectly in college. I had this argument with like one of my roommates at the time. And she was convinced that people like do pay attention and that I'm like, I'm the naive one. And like people do pay attention. So we literally did an experiment where she wore, we were like, yeah, we were in college and this is so funny, I swear. And we went to, we were hanging out with like some of our guy friends, like just like a chill, like hangout, whatever. So we had like this experiment that she's going to wear pajamas, like literally pajamas to this hangout party, whatever you want to call it. And we'll see like if the guys notice or not. And I bet her like nobody was going to notice shit because like, what do they know? Like they're not paying attention.
Hold on. It's not like silk pajamas that like you would.
No, it was literally leopard like matching pajamas.
Oh, okay.
Like they looked like pajamas, but like whatever. Also, they could not. I mean, that's the point. Right. Who cares?
Right.
And she was so convinced. She's like, okay, like I don't care. So I'm going to do it. But I promise you people are going to notice. Guess what? Nobody noticed.
No one said anything.
Like, to be fair, we were with guys. Like, we were the girls and, like, we were hanging out with guys. But, yeah, not one of them noticed.
Yeah, but that proves the point even more. The majority of girls, like are getting ready and thinking, like, okay, like, is this guy I'm going out to see going to, like, just pay attention or realize what I'm wearing?
Yeah, notice that my belt matches my shoe or whatever. Like, they
literally... So now you should publish that experiment. That's like real life data.
I'll never forget. I'll never forget. But anyways, so the reason that I feel like that could also harm me is because I have this like feeling of like, oh, I'm so small in comparison to the world. It's like anytime I want to do something out of my comfort zone or like if anytime I'm like talking about what I do or even like what we're doing here, it's kind of like, okay, I kind of have this in my head. What are people thinking? Why does she think she has the right to speak about this? Or you know what I mean? It kind of goes hand in hand. So
it's hard. I think that this ties into the topic of entrepreneurship in my mind, because part of being entrepreneurial is trying new things. And you can't try new things if you're constantly scared what people are going to say. I'm like a natural entrepreneurial person. Like I'm not like the best entrepreneur. I'm not like saying that. I'm just saying that like I love to start to start new things. I like to start projects. I like to build brands. I like to build things. Like I've always had my own blog or my own Instagram account or like my own company. Like I like to try things and a lot has failed, you know, and it's a lot of trial and error. And I learned what works and what didn't. And you know what? Like my blog, I had it for 3 years. And yeah, in the end, it didn't work out because of a lot of different reasons, which we can talk about another time. But like, no one comes up to me and they're like, oh, that failed blog you did, Shir, like a few years ago. People are like, oh my God, like that was so cool. I followed your blog years ago. Like that's how I found out about you. Or I used to love your content. Like that was super cool. Like it was just a chapter in my life that really taught me a lot about myself. And I had fun doing it. And
yeah, and you always can learn from an experience, failed or 100%. Successful. There's always something you can take out of it.
100%. So like being scared about what people think, and obviously this like there's a lot of different segments of life. Like it could be work-wise or like you're saying, starting this podcast. Like at the end of the day, you're having fun doing it. This has been on your bucket list for a long time. You've been wanting to try this for so long. Like we listen to podcasts, so why not start our own? You know, who cares what people think? If people enjoy it, amazing. If not,
yeah. If they don't, then whatever. Yeah. And we're having fun, and I'm sure we're learning. We're going to learn a lot along the way, and that's all that matters. Like if people, if you were the type of person that did care what people said or thought about you or whatever, maybe like one of your experiences would have traumatized you or stopped you from ever continuing down the entrepreneur route.
It's true. But like this, like we're talking about it from like a work perspective, but think about it from like a lot of people are self-conscious.
Especially women.
Especially women. And like looks wise, materialistic stuff, you know, like
money,
like this can fall into so many different categories of life. And at the end of the day, like it goes back to like who you surround yourself with.
Yeah. You have to surround yourself with people who are happy for you when good things happen. Anytime you feel like you, like this is the best piece of advice I heard from, I don't remember who, but anytime you're in like a friendship where you kind of feel like if something good happens to you, that person's kind of weird, like get out of that friendship.
Yeah.
Like that is not a healthy relationship at all. Because then it makes you feel like you have to dim your light or be smaller when you already have those feelings naturally. And like, at least for me, it's like anytime something good happens, like I'm kind of scared to say it out loud or like to put it out there because I'm scared like somebody will take it away. So that's, I'm definitely not there yet in a lot of ways, but I think definitely getting older is helping with that.
I think a lot of it comes with age.
Yeah.
Which is like annoying to say.
The closer to 30, the less you give a about what people think about you.
Honestly.
It's honest truth.
The older you get, like, look, like it's part of life. When you're younger, you're constantly surrounded by the same people. You're in the same school. You're in the same environment. You're like, but as you grow older, you get to choose who you spend your time with, right? You choose who you spend the rest of your life with. You choose what kind of family you want to have. You choose what kind of friends you have. You choose what kind of job you want. Like you have more choice.
And it's really important. It's not, and it's, you should take those decisions very seriously, I think.
A really big part of like not caring what people think about you. And it's, like, I'm not saying it's the easiest thing because I know that it's really hard for a lot of people. And like, I know that like a lot of people go to therapy to work through this. Like this is something that like ties into so many different areas of life and it's hard. And I think that like step one is surround yourself with good, genuine people who like look out for you, who want the best for you, who like
cheer you on,
who you feel like will make you a better person. What's that quote? Like the seven people you spend the most time with, you end up being like, it's you're the average of the five people who you spend the most time with.
Oh, okay. That's good.
That's what it is. And like, if you surround yourself with people who like make you better, you're going to be a better version of yourself. And so I think that ties a lot because like when you feel supported, then you feel less judged. And when you feel less judged,
you can be the best version of yourself.
You can be the best version of yourself and care, and you'll care less because you know that they won't judge you for it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I love that.
I think that this ties in a lot to the next topic that we like said, which is being authentically you and what that means. Because being authentically you, it is not easy. And it, even though it's authentic and like you know deep down who you are and you've always known deep down who you are in life and you're always going to be in touch with that inner child, like you are you and you just evolve and you become better as you get older. Like it is hard to actually act on being authentically you, if that makes sense.
It's hard to act on being authentically you.
A lot of the times in college or when you're younger or like when you're not surrounded with the best groups, you'll do things to appeal to other people or you'll do things that you don't really want to do or that you don't think are interesting for you.
Or in a relationship. A bad relationship.
100%. If you're not in a healthy relationship, you will do things that are not authentic to who you are. And you know it. Deep down, you know that that is not who you are. But it's so hard to act on that if you're not confident and surrounded by the right people. And I think that being authentically you is so important. And it's part of, like, I think it's part of this whole journey of growing up and learning about yourself and not caring about what people think, because you will do what's best for yourself and you'll feel complete with yourself.
Yeah. I think this is what you're saying is, I can like apply it specifically to kind of growing our business and growing our e-com business and growing, like trying to understand who we are as a brand. That has been a huge discussion that we're having constantly, is who are we? Like what is genuine to us? Because it kind of gets confusing and you get lost trying to copy and be like everybody else that you see. And like my sisters and I, we can always say, like, if we're trying to do like a specific type of photo shoot or social shoot, we'll say like, it's very obvious when we're trying to be something that we're not. And then when we do something, when we like do trends or fun things that we have fun with and is actually us to our core, we're like, those videos end up doing the best. Those campaigns end up killing it. And it is hard. Like you said, it's kind of hard to figure out who that is, because you're so you're so consumed with all of this content and influence and inspiration everywhere and like what you think you should be doing, that it makes you forget who you are. Like, I can't tell you the amount of things that we've tried and failed at and trying to figure, and we're not there yet, we're still a work in progress, but we can always tell when something feels right, and that always ends up doing the best. But it is really hard.
That is like such a perfect example. And like TikTok is like the perfect example of
that. On a small scale.
Because if you're not authentic on TikTok, your videos don't do well.
I know.
It's crazy. It knows if you're being authentically you.
Yeah, it knows more than we know, which is so bizarre.
It's because it's a compilation of everyone's reactions and other people engaging with your videos. So if other people can tell that you're not authentic, your shit won't go viral. But if people can tell you're being authentic, then it will. And it's like,
yeah,
basically
it's so crazy that people know more than we know.
It's really wild. But that just shows you that if you don't care what people think and you are authentically you, people will gravitate towards you. Because that's what viral videos are. People are gravitating towards you.
Towards you. And it doesn't matter. Like, it could be the randomest thing on TikTok that, like, you know, like, it, yeah. Like there was, I saw this, I don't know if you saw this one TikTok video that was like a bowl of fruit. And it was just like all of these like music, and like it was like a music video, and it was literally just like a bowl of fruit. And it went so viral. I'm like, who would have thought? But like, that person just loved it.
Filmed
and like
fruit.
Filmed it. And like, whatever, that's such a stupid example. But
it's a good example. Like, it's
because you could try to, like, you know, film the perfect video, and that will not even compare to this stupid fruit video that this guy was just like genuinely being like his hilarious self and filming like, you know, a funny music video, not thinking with the intention of it going viral probably.
I find it a lot easier to be authentically myself on this podcast forum than I do trying to film TikTok videos of myself.
Yeah. Well, this is, TikTok's also, we're part of a different generation. So I think it's extra hard for us.
Excuse me, we're Zillennials. So
yeah, but we're more millennial. I don't know.
We're the last 2 years of millennial. Like, any normal millennial would look at us and be like, bro, you had an iPhone in high school. You're not a millennial.
Yes. But no, we didn't though. We had the first iPhone came out.
I got my iPhone in end of eighth grade, beginning of ninth grade.
Okay. And that was the first iPhone.
It wasn't. It was iPhone 3, I think.
I remember the first iPhone coming out in like eighth grade.
When did the iPhone? Maybe you're
whatever.
Right.
The point is, social media was not a thing.
Oh,
like,
you're
yes,
seventh grade.
Instagram right. came out when we were in high school, but yeah. it was nothing. It was not social media. That didn't happen until like late college. Like, we were already grown up.
It was,
you know what I mean?
It was just posting pictures. Yeah, actually, because when I had my blog in college,
it was just pictures.
We couldn't post videos and we couldn't post stories. There was no stories. It was just photos.
Yeah, we had Tumblr. Tumblr was a thing.
I never got into Tumblr.
I tried.
I could picture that.
But it was fun. But just for fun, like nothing serious. But yeah, I don't know. I personally relate a lot more to millennials and very little to Gen Z.
I relate to like the Zillennial group, like older Gen Zers, like my siblings, and younger millennials. Because like I follow millennials on TikTok who are like 40 and we're very different.
Yeah. But honestly, I think TikTok, we're trying to hire a social media manager now. And somebody that we spoke to, we were asking her about TikTok. Because TikTok, it used to be like whatever's genuine and not planned and whatever it is, like there was some sort of formula to TikTok, but now she said it's completely random. Like nobody knows what the hell is going on with TikTok. It's not that easy.
I hope they don't turn into Instagram though, changing their algorithm like every other week.
Yeah. I mean, Instagram, like business-wise, it is easier to get more engagement on Instagram for some reason.
That makes a lot of sense. No one likes to follow brands on TikTok. They like to follow people.
That's a very good point that we also keep having a discussion about.
I learned that actually last week because my advisor put me in touch with a TikToker who has almost 1 million followers, and she was able to build her own account to almost 1 million by just talking about being a founder and the struggles and like updates and what they're building and what they're doing. And then she was able to bring the brand account 500,000 or like 400,000 wow. followers. And she sold out of all her products on her website. She didn't invest $1 in paid marketing. It was just posting videos about the company, but like in the office, talking to customers, showing the products, like talking, like,
yeah, people do not care about following a brand. They care about who are the people behind the brand.
She literally told me that.
So me and my sisters have been on this like wavelength, and we've been really making an effort to do that more, which is also hard because we have full-time jobs. Like we're not influencers.
It's so hard. She's a CEO, and she said that she blocks an hour every morning to film 3 videos every day.
Yeah, it's time consuming. It's really not that easy. It's really hard.
I've tried.
So we've been trying to do this for the past few weeks. And then obviously like classic, my dad sends us a message and he's like, sends us this video with somebody talking about this, like that people are not following the brands or following the people behind the brands. And he's like, we really need to like start doing this more. And we're like, have you seen our blood,
sweat, and tears? Have you heard our conversations?
Have you not seen the active effort that we're doing? So that's just, you know, little fam business insight is, it's just always like, what could you be doing more of and what aren't you doing? Which like keeps us motivated and hustling, but that's just funny.
100%. I mean,
he's
think
like
that's,
10 steps behind us.
But it's okay. I mean, okay, we're talking about like Gen X over there.
Yeah. But yeah, to them, it's like, well, why aren't you guys posting yourselves every single day? And it's like,
Because
we have a full-time job.
It's really hard. Like I'm trying to post a video on TikTok like every day or every other day, just talking about like my journey, like what am I doing that day? What are updates? It's like, it's hard. Like I need to like really set aside time in my calendar to just do it. And it takes a lot of time, but like our goal right now on social for Globe Thrivers is like, how can we be authentic on our brand account? And how can I build my personal account so that people really see what goes on in building a startup? Because people like that. And that's authentically me right now. This is my life.
Yeah. I think it's also, it's finding a balance of yes, being authentically who you are, but also thinking about what your consumer wants. Because sometimes, you know, it's not necessarily the same thing.
Well, they definitely don't want to be sold to on TikTok.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So
that's for sure. That's something we've been figuring out on TikTok is at first we were like, okay, the strategy is post every day. And whether that's a lifestyle video or like BTS at a campaign, but then we realized, okay, that doesn't really work. So now we're just trying to do like, okay, we're not going to post every day because it's kind of a waste. So now we're just trying to post like TikTok specific things, like more like funny videos, more like on trend, like anything that makes sense so that it's not as forced, but it's always like a back and forth and it changes every single week. Honestly,
it's hard. It's exhausting. It's a constantly evolving landscape that you have to keep up with. Honestly, this also goes into the last topic, which is imposter syndrome, because we're all figuring this shit out together. And like, no one's really an expert in this TikTok world since it's so new. But even like beyond that, like building a company, building a brand, like you know, imposter syndrome is real. And like, sometimes I just need to like knock it out of my head. Be like, stop it. Like,
I think you that's very much this. A millennial thing, or a zillennial, whatever you want to say.
You think?
I think we all have, I don't know. I think we all have it.
I think it applies to women more than men.
Or I don't know. My husband specifically definitely does have a little bit of it. Like, I ask him all the time because he's in his first year of residency. And yeah, like sometimes he's like walking around like, what the hell? Like, I'm a doctor. Like sometimes
okay, we need a guy's perspective on this. We should bring Sagi on the next episode to talk about imposter syndrome.
Yeah. So it's like, yes, you're working so hard to become the best version of yourself and like to be confident, fake it till you make it, which is a huge key for me. Like that is, I tell that to everybody, especially my sisters. Like if you see me like on stage talking about something like at the Globe Thrivers event or like, I don't know, talking to people.
It was the Globe Thrivers and Elon Arbazel event. Yes. Thank you.
So like, I don't know what I'm doing and like, I'm not confident about it, but I'm not going to not be confident. So I got to fake it till I make it. And that's how I get through life. But yeah. And then once you do get there, then it's like, okay, how do I stand in a room and tell people like I'm director of e-com when that like feels wrong to say, like for some reason.
I feel you.
So, I mean, it's like I do fake it till I make it. And then I get there and I'm like, who am I?
Yeah. But like, do you feel like it goes away when you like have a conversation and then you start like explaining what you've learned and someone asks you a question and you know the answer? Like, does that fade 100%. Away?
I'd rather people ask me questions. And like, I hate talking about what I do. I absolutely hate it. No matter, like, even when in other jobs that I've had, like, no matter what it is, I don't know why. It's like I get like choked up.
I always force her. I'm like, I tell everyone what you do. You have to promote it.
I know. I hate it. I don't know. Maybe it's because, I don't know if it's because I'm in like the family business. So I obviously have had opportunities that not everybody has. And I didn't like, you know, I don't have like this Cinderella story starting from nothing. But on the other hand, like I did start something. I did grow something that did not exist before. So like I can be proud of that.
You should
but yeah,
be.
For some reason when I'm on the spot about it, I can't. It's so hard for me. I don't know why.
I think like you'll become more and more confident in it as time goes on. You just have to practice speaking publicly and presenting yourself and promoting what you do. But I have imposter syndrome all the time. Like building Globe Thrivers.
Explain how yours manifests.
I mean, I didn't really have imposter syndrome at any company I worked at before. When I was leading partnerships teams, when I was pitching demos of AI solutions in front of media executives, like I don't have imposter syndrome when I'm working for other companies because that's my job. That's what I do at the company. And
yeah,
I'm owning it.
I guess it was less for me too now that I'm thinking when you put it that way.
Like it was just like, that was my job. That was, I was hired for it, you know, and it's validated by the company.
It was a role you were playing. It was like a role that you were like assigned to and then you just played it every day.
Exactly. That's literally what it was.
Kind of imposter syndrome.
I mean, that is imposter syndrome, I guess. But like, I guess me believing in it. but now that I'm like the founder and CEO of a tech startup that I just started out of my own brain idea, it's like my brainchild, and I'm seeing it come to life, it's hardcore imposter syndrome. Because
like it doesn't feel real.
Every day I open the app and I'm like, how the hell did we build an app?
Yeah.
I'm like, what? An app on the app store with my idea?
I never thought that you had these thoughts here. I always thought that. Like, okay, how did this girl just make a tech app? Like, I don't even know where do you begin with that? Like, how do you make an app? Or when you started with NFTs, I was like, what the hell is an NFT? And like, what the hell is she talking about?
Oh, God. I mean, literally, but I straight up do because I'm in these rooms most of the time with like engineers who are talking a language I just don't understand. And I'm trying to understand the jargon that's being told. And from my perspective, it's like, okay, I'm running a business. These are the goals. This is what needs to be done. And trusting, you know, the team to build it out and do what's best. Because I obviously can't tell them what to do. But then when I'm like talking to investors.
Yeah, that's talking what I was going to ask rooms, next. Like, how do you turn that off when you're with these people?
It's hard. Like, that's the hardest part, because when you're talking to investors, and by the way, most of the time I'm talking to men, or like I'm in rooms with men, like it's just the way that it is. I have to be confident and I have to be cocky, because I'm literally pitching to these investors for money, and a bunch of other founders and CEOs, who most of them are men, are pitching for it, and they are all cocky and confident as hell. And yeah. I have to come in there and be just as confident and cocky and proud.
Not show weakness.
And I have to show off. And like, I'm very like humble in the work that I do. Like, I'm very much like, I know we've done a lot, but I'm so hard on myself that like, I have such high goals that like, I don't want to show off yet until it's like that there yet, you know?
Yeah, that's the Moroccan in us.
I know, it really is. It's the Moroccan in us. God.
So like, yeah. We want to keep everything a secret until it's out. Until it's good, we don't want anybody to ruin it.
Do that. That's like, it's like counterintuitive. It's like, it's literally not showing the progress. It's not building in public. It's not being proud of all the hard work you've done so far. And like, that's the hardest thing I've had to teach myself the past year. It's like, Shir, you've done a lot. Be proud of it. Show off. Be confident. Like, I always, like, before I hop on a call, I like tell myself, I'm like, you are dedicating all of your time to building this because you believe in it. And my time is valuable. And so if I'm spending my valuable time building this, then it should be worth someone's money. And they should want to, they should believe in it as well. And so like, I just need to like remind myself that like all the time, like constantly.
And is that something you taught yourself, or like where, like, is it something you heard or you saw something that, cause that's like a very, you know, self-aware realization to come to. And it's hard.
I realized it on my own, but after I fell flat on my face 50 times. Like I've had to have many bad meetings.
Getting rejection.
A lot of rejection, a lot of bad meetings. And I learned the hard way.
Yeah. And you'll never learn these things without going through those failed experiences.
Yeah. 100%. And part of getting out of that imposter syndrome is also surrounding myself with a good team and good advisors. I have really good advisors that are extremely experienced in their fields, and they encourage me and they give me a lot of insight and feedback. And like,
you respect them.
I respect them, and it validates my feelings, you know?
Yeah. That's huge.
So to wrap up the episode, how do you not care about what people think?
What's your secret weapon?
My secret weapon is just, I'll say it from my perspective, because I don't want to like say that this is for everybody. I know the journey that I'm on is long, and I know what my end goal is. And I know that this is just a step in the journey. And I know that I can't skip steps to get to where I want to be. And so that, so this step that I'm at in life is just going to take me to my end goal. And I need to work hard. I need to be persistent. And I need to be true to like who I am, what I want to achieve in life, and what I enjoy doing. If someone doesn't agree with that, or if someone judges that, or if someone doesn't want the best for me in that journey, then I just don't need to surround myself with them. And so how do I not care what people think about me? It's, I am determined to be the best version of myself and to achieve my goals. And if someone doesn't support that, I just don't need to be around them. And so that's kind of how I look at it. And that's how I really look at life. How about you, Sanaya?
Well, currently, well, this probably doesn't sound great, but honestly, like, it really has helped me. So if I can give one piece of advice on how not to care, if you're somebody who does care about what people think and you have a lot of anxiety or you struggle with this, like, my best advice is truly to fake it. Like, fake it until one day it becomes who you are. Because I used to be somebody, for example, who was afraid of public speaking or afraid of like getting on a getting in front of people and speaking in front of people and on or saying a speech at like an event, a wedding, whatever, small or big. And it's honestly something that I really like love now. And it's because I just told myself, like, I'm just going to fake it. I'm going to fake the confidence. I'm going to fake everything. And it just ended up becoming reality.
I'm so proud of you, Sanaya.
So yeah, I tell that to my sisters all the time because like sometimes they'll get nervous to like get on a, to like, let's say handle a Zoom call and like lead it themselves or whatever it is in like their own field and what they're doing. And that's always my advice to them. It's like, and also nobody knows what they're doing out here. Like that's nobody a whole other topic we'll doing. Get into. So
yeah,
like,
we can save that for like a separate segment.
Yeah. So just knowing that it should be a freeing feeling. And like, that's something I think about constantly. So yeah, I'll just end on that. Hopefully that helps somebody.
It's a good note to end on. I love it. So, but yeah, if any of you guys listening have any questions about anything that we covered, any comments, anything they'd like to add.
Or your own like tips of what your secret weapon is.
Send it our way.
Sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring. And we'll definitely cover them if people do submit on the next one. And we're happy to answer any questions as well.
Yay. Love this episode.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.